ever since I was a little baby, I always be.
Boy, we own LSU. Mark that down, homie. Go ahead and mark it down tonight, homie. We own LSU. LSU, they don't want anything. They don't want any of that when Tennessee comes into their gym. Vols have now won 6 straight games in LSU. It's pretty next level. And we open up tonight with Basketball Jones because I thank God tonight for Donnie Jones. Tennessee tonight with maybe their best effort of the year. 865-200-5402. Not sure how long I'll be able to go tonight, but I'm going to try it. I'm feeling pretty freaking terrible. Tennessee really deserved a game like that. Everything's been like pulling teeth. Hatfield, get in here. Wasn't it fun to see these guys, Hatfield, for one night, kind of put it together? And really, when it comes down to it, Keith, really took it to LSU.
Oh, that's as much fun as this team's had in a month and a half. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And tonight is a game that puts you in a position now. You come out, take care of business at home on Saturday, and you're going to finish with a winning record because I don't think the NIT is going to take a 16-15 team. So worst case scenario, you win Saturday, you finish up with a winning record, which for this group, I think that's a nice accomplishment.
How about this one? The weirdness of this team from start to finish, Keith. The Vols finished 5-4 on the road in the SEC. Is that just weird? Is that just weird or what?
Oh yeah, and are trying to scratch their way to finish 3-6 at home Saturday.
Yeah, they're attempting, right?
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to count that one as already.
No.
From what I've seen of this team at home, I think that would be a bit presumptuous.
Oh my gosh.
But the play tonight was fantastic.
Oh.
And I mean, the one thing, and I'm not going to beat a dead horse, I'm not beating all year. I mean, LSU's the worst coach team in America.
You've said it all year.
That guy's Wade Houston with better players. He's absolutely atrocious.
Donnie Tindall said, "We've competed all year. Other than the first half versus LSU at our place, our guys have laid it on the line all year long." Hey, they deserved to win tonight. They deserved tonight's game.
Well, and other than, I mean, an ill-advised three that Armani took about 5 seconds into the shot clock when they were up 13, and Tariq Owens taking a 15-foot jump shot early in the clock, they played exceptionally smart basketball.
Yes, they did.
I mean, and why Johnny Jones stayed in a man-to-man defense and allowed Armani Moore to drive their bigs the whole game is some of the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. That's Konzo Martin recruiting Armani Moore to be a point guard dumb.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Konzo Martin because I'm not taking a shot at Konzo Martin after what is probably the high point of the season. But how about if you think about it, Keith? LSU looked as listless as Konzo Martin's last team before the petition tonight. And they need wins. They're like a 9 or a 10 seed, depending on who you look at. They need it.
They play like a team that's convinced they're in.
That's crazy. They ain't in nothing.
No, I mean, you take out... They've got some decent non-conference wins. I mean, certainly the win at West Virginia is going to hold up well for them. Sweeping Ole Miss is going to hold up well for them. But at some point, you've got to have more than that, especially when you essentially played nobody in your non-conference. I mean, probably the second best team they played in their non-conference, if you look at it. I mean, off the top of my head, I was looking at the schedule. It's probably Old Dominion.
Wow.
So you get into a position where you're looking at that and you're saying, well, there's not a lot of meat on that bone. And I realize the bottom half of the field's not going to be very good, but one of the sound ways to miss it is to get beat like they got beat on their home court by a 500 team tonight.
We were talking about this earlier. Around the house here, Tennessee was so close this year to being one of the final teams to make it in the league this year. I mean, the margin was so thin for them. There were so many games in February that they were in that they could have had, but you can't look back. You can only go forward. 865-200-5402. That's a great effort by those kids tonight. Really, really great effort by those kids. Let's go back to our phones.
Other than the last minute of the first half, I always try to be objective.
There's no doubt about that.
That last minute of the first half was an unmitigated disaster.
That was stupid basketball. But
there was some bad. And then I like the quality of the officiating. That Willie Carmichael was obviously standing out of bounds when they threw him the ball, and referees don't even catch that.
My wife compared the officials tonight throughout the game, and it's a great. She had two good lines tonight. I'll have them both in my blog tomorrow. But the first one was she thinks that our 18-year-old dog Sandy has better eyes than the officials on the floor tonight. Those guys missed a lot and made up a lot, and they had some bizarre officiating. Willie Carmichael was a good 2 feet out of bounds, Keith, when he caught that ball.
Oh yeah. Well, and Mike DeCourcy and Fran Fraschilla have been beating on this.
Yes,
all
they have.
Week. These guys are worried to me. Jim Burr's got to be. If he's not 70 years old, he can see it. He can see it on the horizon, and he's working every night.
Every night.
And not. It's not like he's working a St. Joe's LaSalle game tonight, and then he's going to go work a Villanova game tomorrow night. He works a game in Lawrence, Kansas one mm-hmm. night. Is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana the next, mm-hmm. and I'm sure he'll be someplace else tomorrow night.
She said that. I heard DeCourcy say that the officials are hitting walls right now around the country. If you watch these games, these guys are on the Larry Conley plan.
Well, yeah, they're working like I said,
7 days a week
every night. Yeah, they're working 7 days a week.
Yeah,
and none of these guys are young. I mean, the youngest guys are guys like Sermons and Shaw, who are my age.
Let's go back to the phones. Actually, we're going to the phones. It's your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I want to thank them for presenting the action all year. Tonight, Tennessee with a huge win over LSU. Tony B fighting through it, a little feverish tonight. Keith, I've had a fever for a couple days. I feel like my brain's going to burn up. Last night I was about 103, and I haven't been that warm in a while, Hatfield. I think I've done burned myself up. I think I'm going to be sillier than I ever was before. Let's go to the phones and get our first call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Keith. It's
hey.
Robbie.
How's hey, going? Robbie.
Pretty good, man. What a great win tonight. You know, just from a lot of for a couple of reasons off the bat. First and foremost, just Josh Richardson. I'm really happy he got a, you know, they had another good one in the tank. And that's the guy that's been here 4 years and played hard every time he stepped on the court, and just really happy. So I was hoping that they weren't just done for.
I love it, man. You know what this game shows you? That in sports you just don't know. Think you have it figured out, and you just don't know.
Especially when Johnny Jones is on the other sideline.
You got it.
Anybody else played us the entire game in man-to-man?
That's the Konzo of the Bayou. That's what he is.
God, that's an insult to Konzo.
That's what got me was Farnham and those guys kept talking about how Jordan Mickey looked like he didn't want to play and Jarrell Martin didn't look like he wanted to play. Well, if you're an NBA caliber power forward or center, the last thing you want to be doing is guarding a guard out on the perimeter.
Well, that's a great point, and you've made the point all year, Keith. Moore is such a headache for those guys when they try to take him face up. He was abusing those guys tonight, abusing them.
Yeah, and the thing was, all you have to do to negate Tennessee, and everybody's seen it all year, He just played zone.
He played zero zone tonight.
You put them in a 2-3 zone with the personnel they've got, we wouldn't get five rebounds all night.
And we don't. I mean, that we don't shoot three well against the zone.
No,
we've had our best 3-point shooting nights are when, you know, there are people that, you know, Johnny Jones decides to play man, and you know, our shooters have gotten into a rhythm and we're moving the ball and they're getting their shot. I listened to most of it on the radio and then walked out and took a look on the TV and couldn't believe late in the game that idiot was still on a man-to-man.
Was Bert talking about how they were in a zone the whole night and he couldn't believe it?
Yeah, that Bert was just in disbelief.
I bet he was out of his mind.
I thought he was going to have a meltdown over the officiating. I mean, he couldn't believe how bad it was. I mean, you know, it sounded like Bert wanted to go down to the floor and have a chat with those guys. So, I don't know. How many free throws did we actually shoot tonight?
Two.
How many did they have? 20-something?
Yeah. It was a weird game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Hornsby's a nice player.
He's a really nice player. Without him, as Keith said, they're so dead in the water tonight. Without him, they get totally run off the floor.
I would have beat him by 30.
Just a kill. It would have been a kill job.
Yep. All right. Well, I got to hit it back to work, boys. Tony, get you feeling better, my man. We miss you in the morning.
Hey, see you, brother.
See you, man.
865-200-5402.
I got to take that back, Tony. I did say Johnny Jones is the worst coach in the country. The worst coach in the country is about to come on ESPN, too.
Who's that?
Oh, Andy Enfield.
Tariq Owens, by the way. Keith, if the guy gains a little bit of weight, it's going to be a really nice player here.
Yeah, the
guy's got skills.
No doubt. The only thing it is, it scared me to death when he threw the dunk down on Mickey. I started thinking that might be the worst thing that could have happened for us.
Why?
Well, they made a little bit of a run back then, because I was like, all right, that may wake them up.
I thought you were going to go where my wife went with that. You know what my wife did? She said they better be really, really careful chest bumping him. They're liable to cave him in.
That's true. That's true. And he got a little full of himself there. He immediately comes in and takes a 15-foot jump shot right after that. So
I love that.
They had to get him back down to earth a little bit.
Josh Ward from across town. I like Josh Ward. LSU's resume now includes losses to Auburn, Mississippi State, Missouri, and Tennessee, and in his words, that took some work.
Tennessee, if things work out Saturday, is going to be around 500, isn't it? How many combined conference wins do those other three teams have? 10?
Is that embarrassing or what?
Do those three, isn't Auburn like 2-whatever or 3-whatever, and Auburn's right there with them? And I guarantee they don't have more than, say, 11.
Tennessee shot 2 foul shots tonight. Are you kidding me? Whew. Back to the phones we go.
Well, they really weren't going to. No closer than those guys were once Armani went past them at the free throw line, headed the basket. It's not like they could foul him.
Armani Moore had 19, 8, and 4 tonight. Richardson had 20, 5 boards, and 3 assists.
You talk about picking a perfect night. Because one thing you can always guarantee, when there are big guys with that kind of potential and that kind of perceived talent, I can guarantee you the scout section down at the Maravich Center was full tonight.
Back to the phones we go. Great point. In fact, there might have been more scouts in the building than there were paying customers.
That's a possibility.
Boy, Johnny Jones.
I guarantee they were at the end.
Has Johnny Jones captured the imagination of the living Bayou Bengal fan?
Well, one thing I've never understood in college sports is the sentimentality of people always wanting to hire one of their guys. Look,
yes.
If one of your guys can't coach, you don't need to hire one of your guys. Hire a good guy would be my thought.
Back to the phones we go.
I don't mean this as a show. I mean, the guy's going to state tournament again, but, I mean, if something happened to Donnie, what the hell? We're going to go out and hire Aaron Green?
let's go back to, I'm in favor of that. Let's go back to the phones, and Jeeker wants Peyton Woods. Just want to get that in there, just for the sake of the conversation tonight. Just want to get that in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
Hey, Tony. You there?
Yeah. Hey, is this Don?
It is.
Hey, Don, welcome.
Well, I tell you what, it's nice to have something to be joyful about. The only thing I'm not joyful about, Tony, was, well, I had a drama practice at church, and I only got to see about first 12 minutes of the first half and listen to the rest of the first half. And listen, coming back, and I thought, man, and Tennessee was smoking. I thought, I can't wait to get in and watch the rest of this game and back it up and watch all I missed. And all of a sudden, I noticed it was really dark, and, well, the power's out everywhere.
Oh, no, Don.
I can't watch it, no record. I hope SEC Network will replay it.
How about this? On the front end of that deal, Don, we missed the first 5 minutes of the game, including Tennessee's early run, due to them showing that stupid women's tournament game. How dumb is that, Don?
Pretty dumb, especially considering the SEC alternate networks where it's being played. Actually, I didn't miss any of it because I just went to the alternate channel and Tennessee was on.
I didn't have it on DirecTV.
This is the third time this year that's happened. Apparently, DirecTV doesn't know how to activate that, or the SEC's never bothered to tell them to.
Wow. A women's basketball play-in game, Don? You talk about urinating Basilio off.
Well, you know, guys, it's they do, you know, as bad as I get mad at Charter and they just raise my prices again, I got underground utilities here, and, like, even during the ice storm, I didn't lose any power. I watched my TV, watched my games. That's why I don't go satellite, you know. All my neighbors out here do, but I said, no, I'm going to stay right here. Because, like, when everybody was anticipating the SEC Network, I mean, everybody was panicking. And then, of course, they had that same problem, as Keith said, there first. They couldn't find the alternate SEC Network.
Well, because it's not on. The reason you can't find it, Don, is it's not on. The channel's there.
No,
you just get the DirecTV logo.
I didn't mean you couldn't find it. I meant DirecTV couldn't find it.
Yeah, well, that would have huge problems finding it.
I tell you what, it's on three levels on cable, but now the primary level, they don't even have the other, and I have to go on over the higher numbers. But, yeah, let's talk about something real. Actually, Tony, you were saying we only shot two free throws. No, we only hit two free throws. We shot several.
We ended up shooting seven in the game. We hit two for the night. I think we attempted our first two, Don, with 3.5 minutes to go in the game.
We hit a three and got fouled and had a chance for a 4-point play and missed.
We didn't make any. You're right. So it was seven. That's right.
Yeah.
Two of seven from the line. Sorry, Don. I'm sitting here all feverish.
Okay.
My bad, man.
I think sometimes when you have to listen, you have to focus a little more than if you're watching.
I think that's a great point.
But then we missed twice on and one. So we had a and one at the four, and then we missed two and ones that would have been 3-point plays. Could have really stretched it out. They just could not buy one. I was so glad to see Hubs nail those two. But I tell you what, for Kevin Punter only to have 6-7 points, whatever he finished up, we only had two the other night. But be able to score that many points is pretty good. And I know you guys can tell me all about it, but I only heard it on the radio, but how fantastic was it looking at it when Bachman done his deal on the putback or the slam back?
That's a nice looking dunk.
He's really a nice athlete. It's a shame he gets winded so soon. They've tried to figure out, Don, what's going on with him. If they can figure out a way to keep him on the floor more, he's going to be a really nice player here.
Well, you know, you remember that one game pre-conference when he went off for 22 points on that. I think he's got the skills, you know, to do some of those things.
Yes, he does.
But that's twice that he's done some ungodly put back and went up and jumped over the top of everybody. He did that just about a month ago. And I don't remember who was for, who they were playing, but I know that it was unbelievable what he did that night. But I tell you what, Armani Moore, as much as I love Josh Richardson, he's heart and soul team, I tell you, guy's un-freaking believable. You know, I don't think our vice coach really realized what he had. And speaking of that, Keith, vice coach not knowing what he had, you know, we brought that Washington kid in here, and they read him off after a year.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I'm reading, he's a pretty nice player up at Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
He's a part of their he's no doubt a part of their rotation. Though I did see Washington dribble directly into the scorer's table when he was here, so I can't claim that I really saw. Other than the fact he looked like a future decathlete champion. I missed anything.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really saw him developing. But hey, maybe he found a coach that could develop him.
Maybe.
Well, my power just came back. I'm unsetting that in the car. So
Don, have fun. Go inside. Go inside and fire us up on the computer. You need another eyeball on my screen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
All right, see you guys.
Do me a favor, though. Cover your camera because I can see you while you're watching me. Just want you to know that. Make sure you tape over your camera. 865-200-5402.
I'll tell you one thing I wish would happen, Tony. I wish Robert Hubbs would watch Armani Moore's game and just try to plagiarize it as his own.
You got it.
I just wish he would look at that and go, okay, I'm out here playing undersized, playing against bigger guys too. Why don't I do the same thing that he does?
Let's go back to our phones. That's a great point. 865-200-5402, because he has that type of ability. Armani Moore is just a tough, tough guy, isn't he?
Oh, no doubt. Jeff Davis missed the easiest fix for making college basketball infinitely better in that article, though, Tony.
Are you
the
cracking?
The easiest fix is to ban Bill Walton from ever entering another college arena.
Now, what's that mean?
Well, he's just an idiot. The next intelligent thing Bill Walton says in his entire life will be the first.
Guess you're not amused with all the garb and the jam band conversation and the hippie
lettuce,
killed Elvis. And
just go take some acid and stay the hell away from everybody else.
Tennessee tonight, 17 points off turnovers to LSU's 12. The Vols shot 38% from 3-point land, LSU's 33. It felt a lot louder than that because every one of those threes mattered.
Well, they were in a flurry too. I mean, the game was essentially tied, and then Tennessee was up 15.
Yep, they went off there. They of those 8 3 balls, 4 of them came in that span where they put the run on. You're exactly right. Tennessee on the road tonight only turns the ball over 7 times against a team playing man. And it could have been a little worse. There were a couple situations there where the game could have gotten a little hairier down the stretch. But the Vols got bounces, second chance plays. There was one spot in the game where Richardson, I thought, got away with an offensive foul. I mean, they actually got a generous whistle tonight
I thought the play where Armani Moore ran back down and stole the ball from Quarterman after they had stolen it and gotten it to, I think, 12 or so, and we're going down on a break again. I thought that was a huge play.
No question. Speaking of Quarterman, how about when he flat picked Richardson's pocket and Richardson fouled him and they called it on the court, Keith?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a couple tonight.
I'm telling you, man.
We can't play.
Total rebounds, Tennessee 35, LSU 29. Second chance points, Tennessee 13, LSU 11. Tennessee's bench, we've got, you ready for this? I think we have 8 players. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Well, nine played tonight. Okay. We outscored them 11-3 tonight. Points in the paint. They have two NBA basketball players. We have none. 36-20.
See, I think they've got three.
I mean, in the paint. In the paint.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Well, but the thing with their bench, I got to give Ron Higgins credit. He's seen them all year, and he thinks they've got the worst bench he's ever seen for a top half of the conference SEC team.
I heard Higgins tell Sean Sinclair today that he wouldn't be surprised if they laid an egg tonight. And he was right. By the way, thank you, Sean Sinclair, for filling in for me today.
Their effort tonight was...
Tennessee had six blocks tonight. To LSU's three. Tennessee had nine steals in that basketball game. Whew. Wow, what
now,
a win.
Now, granted, that was one thing. I'm not real moved by the quality of the guys they've got doing the SEC games. But one thing Farnham got right, of those nine steals, I bet three of them, they just essentially handed us the ball.
How about one off that inbounds play, Keith, where they're over there drawing a play up, and I mean, they're not 5 seconds off their bench, and he throws it right to Hubs.
Threw it right to Hubs. Well, and then you
got
the one play where I'm sure, where Josh just obviously pulled the old, hey, give me that play where he's playing defense behind him, and Patterson just turns and flips him the ball. I mean, that's an incredibly, incredibly poorly coached basketball team.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in the hunt and in the mix with you. Hello and welcome.
How's it going, Tony? It's Bill.
Hey, Bill. Welcome, man.
Always enjoy listening to you and Keith.
Thank you, Bill.
After the game.
Great to hear from you, man.
Enjoy the opining. Just a quick comment. I don't think I'll ever figure this team out. This one, I think I got them figured out. Yeah, I didn't think we'd have a chance tonight, and they just came out and just really did well. I have to admit, though, LSU looks about as inspired as me in the morning when I go to the gym and get on Jacob's ladder. They just did not look like they were even didn't want to be there. I don't get it. If you're about to try, you're about to get into the NCAA tournament. You're trying to get into the NCAA tournament. You play like that. What's that all about?
That's you know what they need in that town. What I would suggest for those people: get up a petition. Because that's what our basketball team looked like last year. Until we made our basketball team mad last year, that's exactly what they looked like, wasn't it?
They did. They did last year till the very end when we decided we wanted to go to the tournament. Quick question. I'm just trying to be rational when I determine the top coaching job we've had this year. And I'm just setting aside all that NCAA stuff for right now. If you were to give those players that LSU has to Tindall, how would he have done this year?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? They'd have 28 wins.
Yeah, I mean, nobody in this league other than Kentucky beats them.
No.
I mean, maybe Arkansas gets them out of Arkansas or something. No, they'd be sitting on three or four league losses tops. They wouldn't have four losses to Tennessee, Auburn, Missouri, Mississippi State. I can guarantee you that.
What do you think about a 3 or 4 seed in the tournament?
Easily. Certainly.
And as it is, they're going to be a 9 or a 10 seed if they get in. They may play in a play-in game before it's over.
They go get smoked at Arkansas Saturday.
Which may happen.
And then go run another one like they played tonight up at the SEC tournament. They'll be one of those, because apparently today they announced that the last four out, we're actually going to know who they are this year because those are going to be the number one NITs.
That's right.
So,
I'd like to get your thoughts on one last question. The players on our team this year compared to the start of the year, have they gotten better? And I'll let somebody get in here and let you guys talk about that. Thanks a lot.
That'd be worth going by each individual guy. I would say the only one that really doesn't look to be better from the beginning of the year is Mostella. Most of this team has gotten better. Most Reese is who he is. Thinking out loud, both big people that play look better. Richardson is who he is. I mean, he was a great player to begin with. He's a great college basketball player, and he deserves better. He deserved to go out on an NCAA tournament team this year, and who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened. Who else, Keith? I think a lot of guys have made improvement. Balkman's become a better player, I think. Punter.
I agree. Punter's got some limitations, because you could, one thing you could see tonight when they started pressing us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, it was obvious. I mean, I thought it was obvious when immediately they made Josh the point guard. How people looked at that guy in junior college and thought Punter was, would ever be a primary ball handler is lost on me. I mean, and there are a whole bunch of people that recruited him to be a point guard. That's what Missouri, well, of course, that was Frank Haith who did that, so that probably explains 90%.
Punter and Armani Moore were both thought to be point guards coming out of their respective levels, which makes you wonder what people are looking at in the evaluation process.
Well, the two, maybe, I mean, there are a couple other guys, but two of certainly top handful of college, of junior college point guards this year were Kevin Punter and Josh Gray at LSU. One never sees the floor.
Wow.
And one is no more a point guard than he is a center.
Keith, is that position from that level akin to pulling a quarterback at a junior college in football?
Well, the junior college game is so offensive oriented. It's like, I mean, the analogy I always draw is for people who remember the old CBA. It was such an offensive oriented league that when the NBA would pick guys out of the CBA, you never really knew what you were going to get. Oh, well, this guy's averaging 40 in the CBA. Well, yeah, because everybody's shooting after 5 seconds. Nobody's playing any on-ball defense for the last 2 minutes of the game. A whole bunch of guys are going to score into that. I mean, Josh Gray was scored like 38 points a game in junior college last year. It's like Ron Higgins said. That obviously means he was shooting 18 layups and a couple of free throws a game.
Back
he sure
to
wasn't
funds.
Making any jump shots.
And that's what concerns me about this Gray guy for next year for us that we're chasing. You just don't know. It's a box of chocolates at that level. It's all an inexact science, but trying to project a point guard and who can play and who can't, very, very difficult. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome to our next caller.
Guys, it's Smitty. How's it going?
Hey, Smitty.
Hey, Smitty.
If we're comparing Johnny Jones to Rick Ray, who would you take?
Oh, Rick Ray.
Rick Ray.
I think Rick Ray's done a pretty good job this year.
Yeah, Rick Ray.
For all the heck I give him.
Johnny Jones or Konzo Martin? Konzo Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Jones or Jerry Green? Jerry Green.
Jerry Green? No.
Johnny Jones or Buzz Peterson? Buzz Peterson.
He's Wade Houston with better players.
Yes, he is.
That's unbelievable what this team wastes. I mean, with those guys down low, it's almost like they forgot what game plan they had against Tennessee when they came here, because they kept running off the high post at the free throw line, and you could probably count on a finger how many, you know, or you could probably count with your hand, you know, how many times they did that tonight. They were clueless. I don't know if it's because they didn't care, but I credit Johnny Jones for the win, but you got to credit Donnie as well. I mean, that's a huge win.
I credit no one down there last year.
I mean, they were loaded last year. I mean, you take a look at who they've
recruited,
it's unbelievable.
Well, you see the roster they're going to run out there next year. If either of the two big kids stay, if Martin or Mickey, either one, stay, they're going to be in, watch and see, they'll be in a bunch of people's top preseason top 10 next, in a bunch of people's preseason top 10 next year.
And it's going to save his ass because he's going to have all those good players.
I don't know about that.
I think the people down there kind of now, they're going to realize next year when they bring in Ben Simmons and all those guys, and if they're no better than this next year, I think they got to figure out that, well, there's no way we can ever get better players than this.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I've talked about it all year, and I know, Keith, you have as well. I mean, you know, I love Rip and Johnny Jones. I mean, you know, don't forget that, you know, they almost lost to Texas Tech in overtime. They lost to Clemson and they lost to Old Dominion. So their losses are really bad. I mean, if you're comparing Tennessee's losses last year to LSU's losses this year, it's no comparison. And especially talent-wise, I think that LSU team this year might be better than the team that we had last year. I mean, I think that this LSU team is a Sweet 16, at least, you know, talent-wise. But, you know, we can rip them all we want, and I love doing that. But, you know, this team played great tonight. They showed up, and I think they finally started to feel like they could win again. I think they lost that through that stretch. I mean, losses just, they wear on you, man. I mean, they, you know, you can tell they're getting tired. They just needed something to get a little more pep in their stuff, and that's what happened to them.
Mm. You know, it's just a lot of fun to win one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
you know.
And the good thing is that a win like this, honestly, in my opinion, you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, gives them a look at maybe an NIT chance. If they can win maybe two games coming in, I think that if they beat South Carolina and they're a game or two above 500, I think that gives them a shot to go to the NIT, and I would absolutely love to see that for this team.
I would say a shot. Now, here's the issue, and this is kind of a weird thing. If you're Tennessee, you almost want to play Wednesday because you want to pick up an easy win to get another win on your schedule so you can get a couple over 500 or stay a couple over 500.
But you might be able to get two.
And so here's the deal. If you want to see Tennessee play Wednesday night, Mississippi State and South Carolina, if those two teams lose tomorrow, Tennessee will stay out of that Wednesday slot in the tourney. But if either one of those teams wins, Tennessee probably plays on Wednesday.
I know this sounds bad, but, you know, one of the losses that we've had, you know, that we should have won the last couple of weeks has actually kind of benefited Tennessee and where they are in the bracket, because there for a while they were, you know, looking like they could possibly end up playing. They're in Kentucky side bracket, and we all know that that's not where we want to be, and that anybody else, you know, I think if we got another shot with Arkansas, you know, you could do that. It's on a neutral floor. I mean, we know how they can be sometimes on the road. So anything's possible, but I think that they got a shot, and I hope that's what they do. And, you know, you never know, but it's a good show, guys, and I'm glad Don enjoys the table. See you guys.
Thank you. Titans Bill just said online that you remind him of Mike Munchak, all talk, no game, my good Christian friend. Back to the phones we go. Let's go back and get our next call in here. Why is Titans Bill ripping you on Twitter tonight?
Ripping who?
You.
I don't know. Maybe he thinks I'm the mayor of San Diego. He spent about an hour today ripping him.
I've just been told that I sound a lot like Jerry Green with my effort tonight on the radio by a friend of mine who's listening to us in the Metroplex.
So you've been using old school East Tennessee home remedies then?
He said I sound a lot like Jerry Green or Johnny Jones or Leonard Nimoy or Ernie Banks. He's comparing me to a bunch of dead people. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in here. And by the way, we're back to where we've come full circle. I just gigged Big Gulp, who just littered my timeline with a bunch of retweets. And I tweeted Big Gulp's out of the shower, and he favorited that one. So, gotta love me some Big Gulp.
Hey, if you think about it, Tony, if you remember, the first ever Tennessee basketball overtime was after the LSU game in Baton Rouge last year.
I did not know that. A piece of Tony Basilio Radio Network trivia.
There you go.
How do you remember that?
It was the first SEC game.
Damn, I've killed so many brain cells. Did we win or lose?
We won. Oh, that's when we blew them out. And because you said, hey, let's try to do 30 minutes on the app and see if anybody will call in, and we ended up doing about 2.5 hours.
Back to the phones we go. Yeah, nobody cares about it here. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. How about How about Ron Jersa or Johnny Jones?
Ron Jersa.
Yeah.
Now it's getting close.
I would take Leonard Nimoy right now over Johnny Jones.
You get Ed Murphy or Lee Hunt into this, we got a real horse race.
Or Tommy Joe Eagles.
Interesting.
Hey Keith, you were talking about Bill Walton earlier. You know he didn't play in the 72 Olympics and they could have used him, obviously got cheated, but was it true that he was running with the Grateful Dead at the time?
No, he decided that he was making a political statement and didn't want to play in the 72 Olympics. And I see, look at that really simply. Hey, it's his right to do that, and then he always gets mad when people rip him for it. He seems to think that he's the only guy who's got First Amendment right.
I love Bill Walton, for the record. I think he's funny. I love the old man spandex that he wears now, courtside. I think he's next level.
Hey, Tony, looks like Tennessee. I think they're going to finish 8-10, and then Florida will lose to Kentucky. They're going to finish 8-10, and then if Vandy wins, let's just say this three-way tie: Florida, Tennessee, Vandy, 8-10. Do you know how it would shake out? It looks like Tennessee's going to be either 7 or 8 seed.
It's a Brian.
We'd be the lowest. We'd be the lowest of those three, I would think.
Why, Keith? Based on our
We split Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. I mean, most conferences. I mean, the SEC may do different because it rarely do I pay that much attention to it. But usually, if you've got a three-way tie in seeding, mm-hmm. you take the record among the three against each other, and Tennessee's mm-hmm. 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how many times Vanderbilt, Florida played this year.
Hey, Keith, what's the turnout of the SEC tournament going to be like? Is it going to be typical again that fans are going to sell all the tickets to Kentucky down there?
Oh, I'm sure.
How many seats does the Bridgestone hold?
About 19, about probably 18, 19,000.
There'll be 15,000 Kentucky fans.
No question. You got to see it to believe it.
And I'm talking about for the Auburn, Auburn versus
absolutely for every game, you have to see it to believe it. You have to see it to believe it.
I mean, I saw them essentially fill the Georgia Dome a couple of years.
They are bizarre. Those people are bizarre down there.
And man, they love it.
You know, they have fans that don't go to a game all year, but they'll mortgage their trailer or home and go to that SEC tournament. I've been
yes.
down there too. It's unbelievable. And let me ask you, do you think there's a shot they could get knocked off in the final down there?
No.
You pretty much think they're going to win the SEC tournament.
No, they're going to win. Look, they showed you last night why they're going to win. I mean, they were in a tough environment last night. Most teams would have cracked there. They just simply threw it in fifth gear and ran right on by Georgia.
And Cal's going to have a perfect motivation tool for the SEC tournament because, if you'll remember, Anthony Davis and those guys got beat. Vanderbilt beat them down in New Orleans mm-hmm. in the SEC tournament final. So that'll be his motivation mm-hmm. for that. By the finals, it'll probably be of 19,000 people, 1,700 mm-hmm. and 700 of them will be Kentucky fans.
Yep.
So no.
Their loss is going to come in the round of 8, if it's going to come at all. Or maybe the round of 16. But not before then. Now, they could go out in 16 because they don't shoot the ball very well. That's the one thing they don't do well.
And I've got a pretty good idea who they're going to try to stick them with in the round of 16.
You think that it was our guest today on the Basilio show, Steve Forbes' Wichita State team.
Everything they assume, I will be stunned if the NCAA doesn't set it up to where Kentucky's round of 16 game would be against Wichita State.
Wow.
I'll be shocked.
That would be a great pull if you get that.
Hey, last question. If LSU, say, lays an egg in the SEC tournament, they're 21-11, would you take a Murray State, a 27-5, or would you take an LSU like a 21-11 that's, reeling?
Depends on what Murray State does in their tournament. I mean, if they make their tournament final, how many straight wins will they be sitting on? If, say, they made it and got beat in their tournament final, they'd be sitting on, 23 or 24 straight?
Hard to keep them out, isn't it, despite what league you're in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer that should be an automatic bid in and of itself. If you go undefeated in your league.
Yes.
Because if you can go undefeated in a league and don't merit an NCAA bid, why in the world does that league have a bid to start with?
Well, LBC's rigged it, though. You get to the semis, you get a double bye, but, they get an automatic NIT bid. But I'd warrant that Murray would deserve to get in if they stub their toe against Belmont or Eastern in the final.
I would agree with that, and that's why the bottom of this deal. Yeah, the bottom of this deal is going to be really interesting. Davidson has a huge game tomorrow night in the A-10, a game that's sold out against VCU. They're trying to make a case right now. There are a lot of teams out there right now fighting for their lives, and LSU is, and Tennessee might have crushed their neck tonight. That might have been a death blow to them this evening.
If LSU is, man, they sure didn't show it.
The next two, they get in. Do they get in if they lose the next two, LSU?
Hell no. Are you kidding me? They lose to Arkansas Saturday. They are in trouble.
I'll put it this way. If they lose the next two, they lose to Arkansas. Arkansas won't hurt you, but I mean, it certainly doesn't help you. If they go down and lose in the first game they play in the SEC tournament, if LSU makes the field, whichever coach is on TV, red-faced, screaming, yelling about getting jobbed, will be directing their ire at LSU.
They're going to play their way right onto the bubble. And they're the type of team, too, that could go out there in the SEC tourney and just throw up a complete brick job like we did under Conzo that year against Alabama. We needed that win, and we look like LSU tonight. No offense to Conzo, but that was how we looked in that Alabama game.
That was a game for an NCAA bid.
Yeah. What kind of effort was that? Well, thank you for the phone call. Great talking to you, man. I want to say this. My friend who's been ripping me has now turned his ire on Big Gulp. He says that Big Gulp is now out of the shower, Basilio, and the Baton Rouge Water District has issued a conservation alert for the rest of the evening. That is not appreciated. Let's go back to the phones.
How about the color? Well, you talk about an environmental hazard. How about the color Dale Brown's putting in his hair?
I like when old people do that.
That's not naturally occurring in nature.
I like when old people dye their hair blonde. I think it's.
I'm not sure what chemical it causes to do that, but if it can create that color, I would fear it would actually eat completely through my skull.
When you're out of kiwi, the black stuff, kiwi black too, you reach for the brown. It's only natural. Let's go back to the phones. He's got the stuff.
Maybe Dave Hart should try that.
I tell you what, Dave Hart better watch his polish. That'd be a great way for one of the Lady Vols to sneak a little bit of, shall we say, poison into his system. I've been watching a lot of Channel 285 Investigation Discovery. Let's get our next caller in here. Hello and welcome. To our next caller, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, hey.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing awesome. Hey, I just wanted to call in and get your opinion. You know, next year we're losing Josh. And, you know, he's a big part of our team. We got a couple guys coming in. How do you think we're going to turn out next year?
Do we get the point guard we're after? If we get Rob Gray, with everything that's there, with everything that's coming back, I think next year's basketball team will be better. And I think they'll be a contender to make the NCAA tournament.
How far do you think they can make a run next year?
Oh, I have no idea. But I think they...
Who's a junior this year? Kevin Punter?
Junior's on this year's team?
Reese.
Yeah, Reese.
Or Reese.
Okay.
Moore and Reese. And
well,
Punter.
They told me that.
Or did Bachman have 3 years?
Bachman has three. Bachman has three.
Contender to make the NCAA.
Wow, that sounds good.
They just played well.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Our team needed that tonight, you know? I mean, all of our kids have worked hard. Here's what I'm counting on for next year, and I could be dead wrong. I could be 100% wrong about this. Hubs is going to take a step in the offseason. We've seen it here in the past. And these coaches here are telling me similar things that Tennessee staff told me about Jordy Mack, and I'm going to trust that they're telling me the truth about who am I thinking of?
Mustella,
thanks, Keith.
He's had a good game recently.
No, Mustella's disappeared. I mean, you couldn't find him with a search warrant right now.
And I don't know, Tyreek was awful against us.
Looked awfully good or awful?
Awfully good.
Oh, no question. He gains a little bit of weight. Man, that guy's got skills. And he's got a live body, and the thing I like about him is he's not afraid.
I mean, when he went up over Mickey, I lost.
Oh, man, he can jump.
He hasn't said that all year, though.
No. You know who can really jump? You know who's a really electrifying player? It's Mostella. Mostella will take it in your face and jam it in your face. Now, he hadn't shown that yet. I think he's a guy that's got to get stronger, get in the weight room, feel more comfortable. He needs an off season in the weight room. But I think
they got several guys that need that.
No question. I mean, if ever there was a team that needs steroids, Tiger Woods needs to get his people in touch with our people.
What's the name of Willie Carmichael?
Willie Carmichael. I think he plays hard. I think he can be a good player in time. He's another one.
He just fouls so dang much.
Well, now it's reputation.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. That's what the refs did. The refs prepare before games. They talk to each other. And they don't call what's in front of them. They anticipate. But, yeah, he does foul a lot.
Well, I mean, they thrilled me tonight, and I think next year we're going to be good. Well, I'm not good, but we'll be significantly better.
We'll be a contender for, you know, we'll be next year. We'll be like a Georgia. We'll be in contention. We'll have a little more balance, and we'll be in contention for a tourney berth, and we'll be in the middle of the league somewhere, just like they are. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate your call tonight. Great hearing from you. A little hard hearing myself in the background there, but I do appreciate the call.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was starting to think I was going to have Randy Orton disease.
They talk to you?
Yeah, exactly. I was beginning to think those voices in my head were actually there.
I have voices in my head. Let's see what's wrong with that. Let's go back to the phones. Especially the last couple of days, I've had some serious voices in my head. Let's go to the phones, Garrett. Next call in, and let's welcome our next caller. Hello, you're on your smart way. Dalton Behring in Hydraulics, Tennessee. Basketball overtime. Tennessee a winner tonight over LSU.
What are you saying, Uncle Jed?
Hey, Philly.
I can't believe you're comparing yourself to Uncle Jed. And Keith's comparing himself to what, the mayor of San Francisco? Is that what he's trying to say?
Interesting.
San Diego.
Oh, excuse me. My fault.
Titans Billboard.
Yeah, I'm not near as cool as Gavin Newsom.
Well, we can talk politics. Matt under Harrell's terrible. I mean, let's get rid of it. But, gosh, it's
still still bringing the heat now.
You see what they're building over south in Oxnell. I'm glad Donnie Tindall's on their side of the river. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Guys, it's about time we won one when I called it. And, I mean, good Lord. Not only did the players and the coaches need it, the fan base needed a win like that.
We all needed it. And you know what? We deserve it. The kids deserve it, and we deserve it.
I just got to hearing Donnie Tindall saying that Tariq Orange is going to be a real good player.
He's right.
On his talk show with me.
What else did he say, Phil?
He's talking about they've been doing some physical practices. The last few practices they hadn't done in a while, and they think that's the reason why they play so well.
Mm-hmm. Philly, I think they're going to be good. Houston Kress is saying here on Twitter that Mostella, it thinks too much right now when he plays. He does. These guys, when the game slows down for them a little bit, they're going to get better and better. I think this group that he got has some players in it. I really do.
Yeah, I agree about Robert Hubbs. I think he'll be a lot better. I think he'll be a double-figure scorer next year.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be stronger.
And he get back the best of the three freshman big guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And if they can sign one guy, another inside guy and a point guard, I think you're looking at a pretty good team next year. Because if Braxton Bonds is any good at all, I mean.
They were telling me that, Braxton Bonds on this year's team was going to play 14 minutes a night. Easy.
And I don't know, it's just amazing what one win will do. It looked like, the end of the world. And here we are, we got to win at home game, because we played bad at home this year.
Philly, you can't go 2-6 at home, can you?
No, I don't want to be calling on Saturday after the game and be complaining, you know what I mean?
We'll finish 2-6 with a loss, right? Or no,
2-7.
Oh, God, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And what are we going to end up, 7th or 8th in the SEC standings? Or what's the?
Yeah, that's not bad when you're picked for 14th.
Yeah, that's not bad. And who would we play in the first round of the tournament? Is there any guy projections already? Or
Brian Hartman, who we play? I gotta rely on Brian for stuff like that.
You got Hartman the third night?
No, I asked Brian and he'll tweet it or text me.
I think it's all jammed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, Hartman can get out of dark unless he's going to Roosters. I feel so good to win a game, don't I? I mean, good Lord.
Absolutely, Phil. But hey, you two want to know a team that's going? You want to see the bottom fall out of something?
What's that?
Is Tony, I think I told you what was going to happen at Missouri when they hired Haith, right?
Yes.
Haith is now at Tulsa, and he has Dennis Felton and Dave Lato on his coaching staff.
Kid.
Oh my gosh!
Where's how bad do you think the bottom's going to go out of that thing once all of Danny Manning's guys are gone?
Wow.
Think maybe NCAA go there instead of bugging Donnie Tindall?
Interesting.
There won't be a reason for the NCAA to go there. They'll be so ungodly awful in a couple of years.
Yeah, but that guy, he knows how to push. He knows how to.
Yeah, he's an envelope pusher. I like him, Phil. He's an envelope pusher.
He helped Rick Barnes got him good players at Texas getting jump started.
Interesting.
That's true. But boy, he sure left Kim Anderson a heck of a roster at Missouri this year.
Hey, well, I mean, I'm glad we beat Missouri in something. I mean, I'm tired of losing to them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a sport. That matters. So.
Did they beat Auburn? They beat Auburn last night, guys, didn't they?
Yeah.
God, man, I can't figure Pearl out down there.
Well, I'd love to play Pearl in the SEC tournament, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Boy, wouldn't that be fun?
You know what he's on pace to do?
What's that?
It really breaks my heart. If they lose to Georgia Saturday, you know what they're guaranteed to have done this year?
What's that?
Lose 20.
Oh damn.
Well, I don't think he has Forbes and Shea on the staff, and I don't think Stephen Pearl's going to help him too much. See you guys.
Stephen Pearl's your strength and conditioning coach. Oh, geez Louise, so beautiful. I got to hear Donnie Tindall after tonight's win.
Team, that's an outstanding team. And, you know, I said when they came to our place, they dominated that game. And I gave them the credit, and they deserved the credit. But that was probably our worst half of the year, that first half, and probably the only half all year where I don't feel like we've really competed and played like ourselves. And, you know, we've obviously been struggling, but I do think there's components of our team that are showing progress, and I thought tonight in particular our young big guys Tariq and Willie did some nice things, although it may not show up huge in the stat line. They did some good things. We didn't give up second shots to a really, really big athletic frontline team, and I thought we did a great job, maybe our best job all year, sharing the basketball, making extra passes a couple times late in the clock. It was huge.
You are just a lot of people.
Mike Weird.
Mike Strain. Mike Strain.
Getting results, too.
Yeah, you know, we really talked about it the last couple of days. Kevin Punter, I don't think, had shot a free throw for six games. Robert Hubbs for five, or maybe it was vice versa. And we just talked about playing in attack mode, quit settling for jump shots, drive it. And even though we didn't get to the foul line a ton, I thought we got to the paint a bunch, which led to some drawn kick opportunities, or in some cases we converted at the rim.
Had you... Was LSU good at not fouling shooters tonight? Is that a way to put it? How would you explain the free throw disparity?
You know, I think the biggest thing is they're not a super deep team, and so Coach Jones probably tells them to be pretty cautious in regard to fouling on the dribble, because a lot of times those two big guys at the back of the play anyway are changing or blocking the shots. So they probably are pretty well coached in regard to playing without fouling because of their limited depth. And tonight I thought, at their place they blocked nine shots. And tonight, lo and behold, we had more blocked shots than they did. So we converted on our dribble drives tonight. In the first game, they were blocking and changing everything at the rim.
Coach, just big picture, you guys lost five straight. And then it's a team that looks like it was gearing up for the NCAA tournament run. What does it mean to tell you about your guys
if
they come out and get this win?
Well, it really doesn't change anything I've said this entire season. We understand the circumstances we have. I've said this and I mean it. I wouldn't trade my team for any team in the league because of how coachable they are and how hard they work. We understand we have some deficiencies and we'll grow our program as we move forward. But our team has competed. We played 29 nine games now, and we have really, really competed for 28 and a half of those games, and sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes it doesn't. I thought tonight we obviously played well offensively, which always helps, particularly on the road, but it's just another game in regard to getting better and improving, and hopefully we'll continue on into Saturday.
Good night. Catering just dropped something. Catering just dropped something over there. Good gosh, what in the world was that? We're trying to do a press conference over here. You're dropping all the dishes on the ground. Donnie Tindall speaking after tonight's game. And I think he said a couple of interesting things there, Keith. I know that the guys play so hard. I mean, people want to coach worship at times like this. I give those kids so much credit.